Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day.
Today's Issues is the show. American Family Radio is the network, and I am hosting today. My name is Walker Wildman, a familiar voice on American Family Radio. Fred Jackson is co-hosting with me today. Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News and One News Now.
Good morning.
Good morning, Fred.
It's a great day.
It is.
It's a great day because fall has arrived in the Southeast.
That's right. Woke up this morning and went outside about 6 and felt like about 55, and it was kind of chilly.
Yes. So, yeah, this morning it was cooler outside than inside, and I always welcome that.
That's right. Mm. Nice weather, nice a change of weather. We've had 80s, mid-80s, high-80s.
It hasn't felt like fall. Weeks.
No, it hasn't. No. So I think we're hopefully going that direction. Mm-hmm. Chris Woodward, welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much. For those that are not familiar with weather in the southeastern U.S., it's the most wonderful 2 weeks of our year.
Yeah. Fall weather, leaves are falling, turning orange.
Yeah.
Beautiful outside. But we're going to shift to some not-so-good news. And you know, we've been watching the Hurricane Michael as it hit the Florida Panhandle and then South Carolina, North Carolina, and some of those states on the East Coast are still dealing with Hurricane Florence aftermath. But we're going to bring on the line Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope. Many of you are very familiar with Steve Tiber. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Good morning. what an amazing time in our country for the church to be the church. Amen?
Amen. Yes, yeah, Steve. Give our listeners an update. 8 Days of Hope started back over 12 years ago, I believe, with Hurricane Katrina. You and your father and some other men started 8 Days of Hope. It's grown to be a tremendously successful ministry, and I don't say that with by looking at your bank account or that. I'm talking about the lives that you've touched, Steve. So give our listeners just a brief overview of how 8 Days of Hope started in 2005, where you are today, and then we'll jump into some things that you're doing.
Yeah, you know, my dad was living in Buffalo. I was living in Mississippi, and he called me and said, let's go help somebody with their house that was affected by Hurricane Katrina. So the plan was my dad and I and maybe four buddies, six of us. Well, that six of us turned into 694 volunteers, and the 694 volunteers in December of 2005 rebuilt 84 homes in Bay St. Louis and Waveland, Mississippi. So God showed up in a huge way. We realized very quickly that we could develop a vision and be prayed up, but God has been leading this ministry since day one. And so now we have responded to almost 40 different disasters across America, from New York to Hawaii to Texas to North Carolina, soon Florida. And we just try to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We just try to meet people right where they're at and love and serve people in need. And after 13 years of doing this, volunteer organization, we have 125 leaders in 31 states, 9 different denominations, the church being the church. We have helped about 4,500 families rebuild their homes, sharing Jesus, watching homeowners, family members, volunteers meet Jesus for the first time. And our last trip in March, we had 4,700 people in Houston. And in 2 8-day trips, we rebuilt 800 homes, did 229 brand-new kitchens. And again, just wanted to love those who have nowhere to turn. So it's been wide open, $45 million of work. But to your point, Walker, it's about letting people see Jesus in a very, very, very dark time.
Amen.
And we love what God has done with the ministry, and I'm not excited for disasters, but we're glad that we're ready to respond.
Yeah. Before we move on, I know Steve. I'm talking to Steve. I mean, Fred and Chris will have a few questions for you. But folks, from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, but the two things that help 8 Days of Hope the most is volunteers and donations. Because you need money to buy the supplies, and you need hands and feet to serve and help rebuild these homes and touch these lives. So 8daysofhope.com is where you can do both of those things, and there's plenty of room for service and volunteers. Fred?
Yeah, I mean, you're correct, Walker. We're in North Carolina right now. We're in Newburgh, North Carolina. We have equipment in New Bern, Fayetteville, and Wilmington, North Carolina. We have been in North Carolina for 3 weeks. We'll be there for another 4 weeks. And we've already helped hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of families. So if you live in that area and you want to serve with ADZO, go to our website. It's free. We provide the food and lodging. Right after disaster, your skill set does not have to be a professional contractor type. But guys like me who aren't gifted with their hands can help. So that's our outreach right now in North Carolina. Of course, we have a rebuilding trip that's starting this Saturday in Houston. Volunteering for that is closed, but we'll have thousands of volunteers here helping after Hurricane Harvey. And now we've got Hurricane Michael. So our plates are full, but God's got this, brother.
Tell us a little bit more, because the last time we talked to you here on Today's Issues, it's Fred here, Steve, is Florence was approaching, and we were wondering, because you called us from Houston, Texas, where you were down there getting ready for the next phase of recovery, and Florence was arriving in the Carolinas, and now you got Michael to deal with. You know, it's the federal government has thousands of employees. You don't have a lot of full-time employees. So when you say it is a work of God, it has to be.
Hmm. Yeah, it does. You know, technically, ADZO has no employees and staff. We do have some full-time missionaries that are supported by our partners and raise their own support. And it's been fun watching God. I told the leaders last night, I hope we never just assume and be complacent when we see God show up. He shows up every day during an ADZO event in some way, shape, or form or fashion. And selfishly, Fred, you know, I and other leaders, we have a front row seat. And so it is interesting, to your point, we were in Houston getting ready for the rebuilding trip, and Florence was coming, and now we're in Houston getting ready for the rebuilding trip, and Michael was hit. So the good news is we have $2 million worth of equipment, all paid for, and we have 31 major pieces of equipment. 28 are in North Carolina and Houston. The three that are not in use are already being planned to be moved to Florida, and we're going to serve in excellence, not perfection, but in excellence in North Carolina and Houston, but we are ramping up plans to head to Florida as well.
Hey, Steve, it's Chris here. A lot of the stories we've done over the years have involved governments kind of frowning on faith-based efforts. How has the government responded to you guys showing up over the years?
Well, you know, we were in Texas in March. It was the largest volunteer rebuilding effort ever in the world's history. And so to have 4,700 people here, you know, Governor Abbott was very kind and gracious to shoot down very quickly and visit the volunteers, visit the families, actually picked up a paintbrush. They welcomed the help. When we were in South Carolina, then Governor Nikki Haley was very gracious. Her team worked fervently to help us help others. And so, you know, I don't care if you said we're on the left or we're on the right. No government can wave a wand and fix this.
Right.
You just can't. There's not enough money and employees to do what needs to be done. But this is where the church, I tell people all the time, you don't have to volunteer with ADZO, but don't sit on the sideline and do nothing.
Right.
Find an organization, do your research, find someone you want to sow into, find a way to give back, but find some way that you can make a difference. I hope it's 8 days of hope, but we're not mad if it's not. But don't sit on the sideline, because right now I know the governor in Florida and the governor here in Texas, they're happy we're here and they're happy that we're coming. We need all hands on deck.
Amen. Amen. Steve Tiber with 8 days of Hope. Steve, tell our listeners about your website, what they can do there, and what your needs are.
So right now we're going to step out in faith. We're going to go ahead and purchase some additional equipment. without knowing that the resources will, well, we know the resources will come because God is Jehovah Jireh. But right now we ask people to do three things. First and foremost, pray. There are still people in danger. We have volunteers in North Carolina that are starting to see the rain from Hurricane Michael. So we are praying for their safety. But pray for these communities. Pray that Jesus will be exalted, that people will be drawn to him because of a very, very, very tough situation. You know, we don't want people to remember our name or my face or my name. I want them to remember 3 years from now, hey, that organization, can't remember who they were. Man, they loved the Lord and they loved us. So pray, volunteer. We're accepting volunteers right now on our website in North Carolina. You would go to New Bern. We're there to November 10th. And we'll also be announcing Monday morning our plans to go to Florida. So we will be heading to Florida, but we're going to go out on a limb and put together some more units so we can head over to Florida because other pieces are being used. You can volunteer or donate on our website. In a minute, I'll give you a mailing address, and that's on our website as well. People also can send a donation to our P.O. Box. It's P.O. Box 3208, Tupelo, Mississippi, 38803. P.O. Box 3208, Tupelo, Mississippi, 38803. Pray, volunteer, or donate.
Amen, Steve. Well, 8daysofhope.com is the website. Steve, thanks for coming on, and we'll be talking early next week.
Thank you, brother. God bless you, man.
All right. 8daysofhope.com. I know that was a lot of information there, but everything on the website can be found there. 8 days of hope, 8 spelled out. The word 8daysofhope.com is the website. Volunteer, donate, find out more information there. Chris, what's the latest on now Tropical Storm Michael?
Yeah, it's still a big threat. A lot of wind, a lot of rain, tornadic conditions for the Carolinas, Georgia, maybe even southeastern Alabama. I've seen some news reports saying even Virginia is expecting some sort of damage, bad weather, severe weather, whatever you might want to call it, from Michael. It's a tropical storm now, but still a threat, still something people need to be paying attention to. And, oh, by the way, North Carolina, South Carolina, still having issues with Florence. I had this in the stack yesterday. The Carolinas have had a problem with mosquitoes from Florence. So after this batch of rain and everything moves through, the bugs are probably going to come back out. And a lot of people don't think about the kind of needs people affected by storms have after something like this. Oftentimes it's mosquito nets and bug repellent.
Right, right.
So that's something you could help out and bring to 8 Days of Hope.
All right.
Another interesting aspect of this, comparing Michael with Florence. In Florence, we had a very, very heavy death toll in that. That was, I think, the key story in Florence, along with the catastrophic flooding. But in Michael, at least when I woke up this morning, every death is a tragedy. And I don't want to minimize that, but the death toll was 2. I'm not sure if it's climbed above that yet. Which is absolutely amazing when you consider 24 hours when we were sitting here. Michael had grown to a 4, maybe was going to hit 5 by the time it came ashore. Now, he has done a lot of physical damage, but I'm absolutely amazed that at least at this point, the death toll isn't much higher.
Right.
It may have something to do with population density in the Carolinas compared to where this came ashore, but I mean, a lot of folks do live down there, that Panama City. Tallahassee is the capital of the state, and now up through, as it Macon, Georgia, that area. But so far, and we hope it stays extremely low, we have a death toll of 2. Our hearts go out certainly to those families. But thank God. You know, someone said this morning, one of these individuals, one of the survivors said, you know, we can rebuild. Houses, we can rebuild awnings, we can rebuild, put up new telephone and light poles and all of that sort of thing, but you can't put a dead life back together again.
Right.
So thankful there's power crews. There's something like 500,000-600,000 people between the Florida coast and Georgia that are without power right now. But 3 or 4 days ago, before Michael hit, power companies from around the country, and this is one of the neat things that happens in these situations, they start putting themselves in staging areas. So you now have thousands of crew members working to put power back on. And that's so important.
Right.
We forget that. Power is...
Refrigerators.
It's needed to run the gas pumps so that people can get gas to run generators and all of that sort of thing. So as soon as the power gets back on, it makes a world of difference.
Yeah, you don't realize how much you need power until it goes out.
That's right.
Refrigerators, freezers, a lot of your frozen foods can thaw out and ruin. You have air conditioning. I mean, that's not a necessity, but then your hot water heater. I mean, the list goes on. Pretty much everything that has a motor in it or that makes noise runs off electricity. So keep up with that at onenewsnow.com. Chris, what's the next news story?
All right, well, you know, lunch is just around the corner. Many of our listeners on the East Coast are gearing up for lunch. Those in Central Time are probably thinking about what they're going to have for lunch. All that to say this, President Trump has a lunch date today with Kanye. Kanye West, very outspoken. He's been in the news from Fox News to CNN, MSNBC. Kanye has been an outspoken supporter of President Trump, often photographed wearing Make America Great Again hats, much to the dismay of many people on the left. But the two are apparently going to have lunch today, and they're going to discuss what's been reported as manufacturing resurgence in America, prison reform, how to prevent gang violence, and what can be done to reduce violence in Chicago. This is going to be clip two, Brent. The president tells Fox and Friends he likes Kanye a lot, adding he's known him for a long time.
He's a very different kind of a guy. I say that in a positive way, but he is a different kind of a guy. Those that are in the music business say he's a genius. And that's okay with me, because as far as I'm concerned, he is. I will say this. When Kanye came out very strongly a number of months ago, something happened. My polls went up like 25%. Nobody's ever seen it. Like, he's got a big following in the African-American community, a big, big following. And I think he has in a lot of communities. But the polls went through the roof, and I have not seen that. I think I can honestly say I've never seen that before to that extent.
Yeah.
So he is respected, and he's really a great guy. You know what he wants? He's not asking for anything for himself. He's not saying, hey, gee, I want to do this or that. He's a private guy, and he wants to help people. And I think maybe most, more than anything, is prison reform.
Now, Jim Brown, former NFL running back, college football star, he is also meeting with President Trump today to talk about things like prison reform, criminal justice reform, things like that. So you will see and hear much more from the president and others about his meeting today with Kanye.
Two things about this that I love about President Trump is the first thing is he calls in to Fox and Friends and does a 30-plus minute interview. Mm-hmm. I actually had to leave the house. He was still on the phone talking to him. So it was at least 30 minutes because I watched it most of the morning before I left, coming to work. That's one thing. That's kind of unique. You didn't get that in past administrations. The second thing is the fact that President Trump listens to other people and not your usual political advisors. Mm-hmm. You know, past presidents wouldn't bring in private citizens, you know, all over from different sides of the aisle and stuff to come in and hear what they have to say. But that's what's unique about President Trump. And I don't agree with Kanye, I probably don't agree with him on much, but the fact is he likes what President Trump's doing and wants to try to help out in any way he can. He probably has some good ideas, but this is what people like about President Trump is he brings people into the White House and he hears people out, and then President Trump makes informed decisions based on what people think, Fred.
Yeah, and what's really interesting, I know Chris is going to get into this in just a second, Kanye West is African-American. And what's really interesting is how the left, Chris, is responding to the fact that Kanye West, an African-American, a star, high-profile star on the music scene, the entertainment scene, but the left is going ballistic and ridiculing Kanye West. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely incredible. Tell us about that.
Yeah, basically, and I'm going to use a substitute term here. There were some people on the air with Don Lemon, CNN's Don Lemon, and they referred to Kanye as the token black guy. They used another word. You can read this for yourself if you go search it. But we have some audio here. This is going to be clip 9. It's of Bakari Sellers and Tara Settmeyer on CNN with Don Lemon and a panel saying Kanye West is what happens when black people don't read.
Kanye West is what happens when don't read. And we have this now, and now Donald Trump is going to use it and pervert it, and he's going to have somebody who can stand with him and take pictures.
Just looking at Scott's
face. Listen, black folks are about to trade Kanye West in the racial draft, okay? They've had it with him, and he's an attention like the president. He's all of a sudden now the model spokesperson.
That's CNN commentator going back and forth there, and I know the N word was used there, and then the W word. But my point there is that CNN is so they're always getting so offended about word usage. I mean, we heard yesterday they wouldn't let guests use the word mob to define what these paid protesters are doing there. But from what I understand about this term, token N-word is what they called Kanye West. And basically what they're saying is Kanye West is just being used by Trump. He's willingly being used by Trump for political purposes.
I think it's even more serious. This panel, the panel was made up of most, if not all, African-Americans.
Three African-Americans, one white man.
What you heard there, folks, is a belief that there, from according to these people, there are two classes of black people.
Mm-hmm.
One class, you have to be a bleeding heart liberal, leftist, Democratic Party supporter. In their minds, they are legitimate black people.
Mm-hmm.
A black person who holds a different political point of view than this panel, who are not Democratic Party supporters, they are somehow less than the so-called legitimate black mm-hmm. people. If I was a black person listening to that panel, I would be so deeply offended.
Yeah.
That how dare you say to me, because I have a different point of view on how the economy should be working.
Mm-hmm.
I have a different point of view on Obamacare. I have a different point of view on how things should be resolved. And lo and behold, I believe Donald Trump is doing a good job.
Right.
How dare you say that somehow I'm less than a black person? I mean, the remarks coming from these folks are offensive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Reverse everything for a second. That this, if this panel was on Fox News and said something derogatory to this extent about a black person who supported the Democratic Party.
Right.
Reverse everything for a second. And you would have the New York Times, the Washington Post going absolutely ballistic.
Right.
Yeah.
But they believe they have a license to basically declare that Kanye West is less a black person than they are.
Yeah, and many people have said this, but the Democrats, if you look at policy-wise, the Democrats don't do anything for the black community. They anything to help them.
Great point.
And so that this is why the Democrats use fear-mongering. Now they're intimidating Kanye West and calling him slang names on national television, because what they want to do is they want to alienate Kanye West and put intimidation into other blacks who might be thinking they want to support Trump, but then they say, well, CNN might call me the N-word, a token N-word if I support President Trump. But this is gonna, if Kanye West and others can come out and support President Trump, even though we don't agree on everything, but that's America, then you just pull 3-5% of the black vote from the Democrats in November and in 2020, that will be the end of the Democratic Party. And I think E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio this morning, filling in for Sandy, said that's why the Democrats are desperately trying to bring in the Hispanic vote, the illegal immigrant Hispanic vote, might I add, because that's their next voting block, because all the blacks are going to support President Trump. And President Trump there in that clip was talking about, when he said 25%, he was talking about 25% of the black vote in the likely voters in the poll, one of the polls from a month or two ago. It jumped from 18 or 20% of support amongst the black community for President Trump to 36%, and so that's a 25% increase among that voting block.
This is going to be a shameless plug, but for our black or African American listeners, all the more reason to check out Stacy on the Right, Miki Addison, Will, and what Abe is doing on Urban.
Amen. There you have it. AFR.net. You can catch our podcast, Today's Issues podcast, and all the other shows there. We'll be back with more news after the break. Stay tuned to Today's Issues. We'll be right back.
King of the Wild Frontier.
The music's free. I know we call it Learning University.
Of necessity.
Trivia Friday.
True.
Ding, ding, ding,
yes.
Ding, ding.
Oh, really?
That's correct. Giraffes do not have vocal cords.
So you want a cheeseburger without cheese?
Hold the cheese.
I said, yes, ma'am, whatever you call it.
Take a break with Tim Wildman and the gang. Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Way back in the 80s when Don Wildman came out with his AFA newsletter, it just impacted us, a group of ladies in the Louisiana area, just to mobilize so that we would become proactive and get involved. And so the ministry kept us informed about issues. And today, it still keeps me informed, letting me know what's going on, how to pray, how to get involved, how to share the news of our current issues.
American Family Radio's mission is to inform, equip, and activate our listeners to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture. Plan to partner with us in this vital work during our three-day share-a-thon beginning Tuesday, October 16th.
I encourage you to stay strong in the Lord. I am blessed by each one of you, and I pray that the Lord would continue to use you as you exalt His kingdom.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Stearns from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. If you've been on an airplane, chances are pretty good you've seen a fellow passenger with an emotional support animal. Most of the times, it's a dog or a cat or maybe a bunny rabbit. But every now and then, someone tries to board the plane with something more unusual, like a bird or a miniature horse. Or, as they discovered at Orlando International Airport, a squirrel. Police were summoned to escort a woman off a Frontier Airlines flight bound for Cleveland the other day. The passenger had boarded the flight with an emotional support squirrel. Frontier says rodents are not allowed to fly, and that includes squirrels. They asked her to politely leave, but when she refused, the airline made everyone else get off, and they called police. I'm not sure what it says about our society that a person cannot function without the aid and comfort of an emotional support squirrel. We've gone plumb nuts, America. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to this Thursday edition of Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're live streaming on Facebook and YouTube, so you can watch the show there. Also, you can visit our website, afr.net. Before the break, we played a CNN clip, and obviously CNN they won't use the word mob, but they want to use the N-word and another slang word. Mm-hmm. But I just apologize about that. If you had kids in the car and they're asking questions, things like that, that just slipped by us. We didn't play those intentionally. So just an apology there for those who might be thinking about calling in. We are family-friendly radio. We try to make sure we air things that, you know, you can listen to around your kids. But that one slipped by us, and I apologize about that. We're going to move on to, that's shameful that CNN even lets that fly on their network. And Fred and I were talking during the break, and that's really shows you that this kind of vitriolic, angry language that these CNN and other mainstream media hosts allow to go on, but it only is a one-way street. They can use this hateful language against people who are associated with and support President Trump and his conservative agenda. So we need to keep an eye on and let our friends know that the kind of rhetoric that the left is using against conservatives and Republicans. But moving on to another topic, Lynn Ingram comes on about every week And we talk about Redeem Clean laundry products and how you can support American Family Radio through that. Lynn Ingram, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Walker. How are you and Brandon this morning?
We're doing pretty good. We have some nice weather here. How's it feel in Texas?
It's beautiful. The seasons are changing. It's wet. It's cooling down. It's just, it's the best time of the year to live in West Texas.
There you have it. Well, the product we're talking about here is, for those who might not know, is Redeem Clean. And Redeem Clean was founded by both you, Lynn Ingram, and Jim Duncan out of Texas. But it was created to support exclusively the American Family Radio Network and American Family Association. But Lynn, give our listeners a little background as to why you chose AFA to support.
Walker, thank you. And it's so interesting how this ties into Sheriff Vaughn coming up next week for you guys. Is that I've been listening to AFA and AFR for 8 or 10 years, and God called me to do it. He just called me very specifically to do it. And when I didn't know how to do it for those 6 or 7 or 8 years, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know more about the laundry and dry cleaning business than anything else. So I called Jim Duncan, which is a friend and a fellow servant in the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom, to ask him what he thought about it. He said, let me pray about it. So he prayed about it. He called the vision, and he said, this is something we need to do. And Jim has operationalized this and made it work. But really, we feel like that God chose you for us to do this. You know, we each support our local ministry. Jim's in Central Texas. I'm in West Texas. We support our local churches, other ministries, and other efforts to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out there. But we felt like we could have a greater impact of our time and investment spent with AFA and AFR. And we felt like God chose you for us for a number of reasons, really, that we boil it right down to a couple of reasons. First is y'all stand tall for the word of the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. You stand tall. No matter what the offense, no matter what the obstacles are, you stand on the word of Jesus Christ. And second, you stand tall for America. And Jim and I both believe that if all Christians in America could stand together, we can make a difference. We might not be able to totally fix it, but if we stand together, we can have a huge impact on that.
Amen.
And as I started off on this earlier, with your Sheriff on coming up, it's wonderful to hear the testimony of what AFA and AFR does for people out there. And this is kind of what I feel like is our testimony when we support AFA and AFR and it's across the board. It's the millennials, it's what A does, what you'll do, the traditional concern. I mean, across the board, your impact just continues to go on. And we need to make sure that you have that ability moving forward. And by putting this together, and by the way, we've had thousands of people, you know, who are already buying this and buy into this because it was a great product. But most importantly, it's supporting your efforts of what you and your management team there feels like with that video.
Amen. Amen. Lynn Ingram of Redeem Clean, I'll tell you a little bit about how to get that product. Lynn, thanks for coming on Today's Issues.
Hey, thank you, Walker. You have a great day. See you next week.
God bless. Amen. Thanks, Lynn. Well, folks, a little bit more information about that. First off, you can visit afastore.net, afastore.net, or you can visit afr.net. Both of those places, if you visit afr.net at the front page of afr.net, there's a big banner, and you can click on it. It says Redeem Clean. Do your laundry and reach the next generation. But if you go to afastore.net, it's on the top banner, but that banner rotates. So you need to wait a minute for it to rotate through to the Redeem Clean banner so you can click on that link and order your product. But some good news on this Redeem Clean product is we have a couple more options now that are available this week. And many folks who are familiar with the product, they've gone and looked at it or they've ordered it. We had a lot of folks emailing us and calling and saying, you know, I don't use the dryer sheets, and I want more detergent, or I would like some accessories, some multi-surface cleaner, some stain remover. So we've added some more options at our website, afastore.net, and now you can order the detergent, both liquid and powder detergent, without the dryer sheets. So if you don't use the dryer sheets or you like another fragrance from another brand, that's okay. You can just order the detergent by itself. You get a pretty good quality and quantity. You get two jugs. I think they're both 50-ounce jugs. And then we've added an accessory kit, which has a multi-surface cleaner, stain remover, and a softener for your laundry. So a lot of different options there. AFAstore.net. You can find out more about that.
Yeah, and Lynn mentioned Share-a-thon coming up next week, folks. Mm-hmm. We love Share-a-thon. We love that time because one of the best things is we have volunteers that come in from across the country to help us out here. Mm-hmm. But the other thing, it's such a joy to get to talk to folks who call in to make their donations on the phone and find out how American Family Radio has impacted them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a great time. It's an opportunity, obviously, for listeners to show their appreciation for what we do each day. And what I'm getting, guys, in recent years is a growing appreciation for what American Family Radio does. Mm-hmm. We're becoming more distinct from mainstream media. Let me put it that way. We just heard an example of CNN.
Yeah.
And I think the mainstream media, it is safe to say, is becoming more openly hostile towards Christianity and Christian values.
Mm-hmm.
And the need for American Family Radio is increasing.
That's right.
Out there. So it's an important time. We love to meet and greet and chat with our supporters, but to speak to our supporters next week is a key time. We only come to people twice a year.
Yep.
6 days a year. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. You don't hear us out there kind of every day asking you to contribute. Don't mind that if you want to do that.
Yeah.
But we don't hammer away at it. But there's 3 days, and this is our fall share-a-thon coming up next week. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Make sure you tune in. There's a lot of fun on the air, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. A lot of guests. Have a good time next week.
We look
October 16th, 17th, and 18th. Tune in to American Family Radio, or you can visit our website, afr.net. Chris, what you got next?
All right, real quick. You know, the Attorney General is often labeled the top law enforcement officer in our great nation. Eric Holder used to be in that position when he served as Attorney General under the Obama administration. Eric Holder is now joining the list of Democrats calling for violence against the GOP and even separating himself from remarks that First Lady Michelle Obama made just a couple of years ago. Clip 7.
It is time for us as Democrats to be as tough as they are, to be as dedicated as they are, to be as committed as they are. Michelle always says, Michelle Obama, I love her, you know. She and my wife, like, really tight, which always scares me and Barack. But Michelle always says that, you know, when they go low, we go high. No, no. When they go low, we kick them. That's what this new Democratic Party is about.
Now, it's very interesting because we live in a culture where people are protesting law enforcement's tactics against people.
Mm-hmm.
And here you have the guy that literally was the top law enforcement officer in the United States of America advocating for violence.
Right. And Fred, some might say, well, you know, he's talking in hyperbolic language and blah, blah, blah. But in this day and age, even if you're a Republican, you can't say, yeah, we kick them. We punch them. Mm-hmm. Well, how else are you going to take that other than literal?
Well, kick is a violent word.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It is. It's a violent word. And Eric Holder can come back and say, you know, that, well, obviously I didn't really mean physically kick someone.
It's too late now.
But you're using that verb. It is an active verb. It is an act of doing something that hurts someone. This on the heels of the violence that we saw in Washington over the last couple of weeks, the anti-Brett Kavanaugh protesters out there obstructing people wanting to use elevators.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, we're living in very dangerous times. Mm-hmm. We really are. And the party, the Democratic Party that that appears to be so against and so advocate, you know, we're out there, we're fighting hate and all of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That to me sounds like a whole lot of hatred to me. Mm-hmm. Even disagreeing with Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
You heard him say that. Obviously, he's not an advocate for going high.
Yeah.
He's an advocate for getting out there and getting in people's faces.
Yeah, folks, I think this is what's going on here is the Democrats have tried everything. Literally, they've tried everything short of physical violence. I'm talking about the we've had some Democratic voters and supporters. One shot up Steve Scalise, shot up the baseball field in Virginia. So we've had some of their supporters carry out the violence on their behalf, but we haven't yet, up until the last few months, heard the Democrats promoting violence. Maxine Waters kind of got it started. But what I think's happened here is the Democrats and the media have tried all their cards. They've tried the Russia hoax. They've tried the impeachment talk. And they've tried all these things. They've slow-walked President Trump's legislative agenda, basically blocked it virtually. They've slow-walked his nominees. They tried to destroy Brett Kavanaugh. They're doing all these things short of physical violence, and none of them have worked. So what's the last card? We're going to physically take over Washington, D.C. That's why Hillary Clinton says, well, things we're not called to civility. We're only called to civility when we get in control of Washington. So this violence that the Democrats are promoting is, I don't believe, going to stop until the Democrats either have a revival, a spiritual revival, or they actually just need to be saved first before you can have a revival, or until someone dies and it wakes up our country.
I believe it's called bullying.
Yeah.
I believe that's what it's called, which they, you know, Democratic Party, they pat themselves on the back and they are champions against bullying. This is bullying.
Oh, yeah, but it's bullying with the physical violence aspect to it. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's not just verbally verbally getting in people's faces. Eric Holder says, when they go low, we kick them.
Yeah.
So a lot of dangerous rhetoric coming from the Democrats. But I think in November, folks, if you're upset about this, the time for you to act is in November. And we don't kick. We don't confront people in their face. We vote in November. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. So you can make your voice heard November 6th. And Brian Fisher has a great article up at AFA.net. And the headline is, in our cultural civil war, November 6th is Gettysburg. And he's talking about the importance of the midterms turning out to vote. So I would encourage you to make sure you vote on November 6th. A guest we have on the line with us is Dr. Alex McFarland, co-host of Exploring the Word and leader and founder of Truth for a New Generation Conference, which many of you have heard of. Alex, welcome to today's issues.
Well, thank you very much. It's always an honor to speak with you all.
Alex, I want to ask you about this topic we've been talking about. What's your thoughts on this physical violence, this encouragement of physical violence that you have, not coming from, you know, a few people that don't really have much influence, but it's starting to come from the most influential people in the Democratic Party?
You know, I think I'm watching a mafia movie. The Democrats have become less like a political party, less like political leaders, and more like mob bosses. You know, whenever I go preach in the upper Northeast, oftentimes, you know, if you go up in New Jersey or Connecticut or some of the Northeastern states, there'll be these little Italian restaurants that are really a front for a crime cartel, you know. And I think about, you know, Hillary Clinton saying that the time for civility is past and really intimating that people should resort to violence because, I mean, that's how organized crime works. You know, it's like we can make this easy or we can make this hard. You know, you can come along peaceably or we will rough you up. But, you know, the Clinton front has not been a pizza joint in New York City. The Clinton crime cartel has stood behind a political facade for 40-some years. But you know, I got to say this. Just like I think with transgenderism, how the left, they're 180 degrees out of phase on everything. They believe that, you know, you can abort babies, you can redefine marriage, you can change your gender, you can believe that humans cause climate change, you can believe in open borders, you can believe in free health care for all and free college tuition universally will lower taxes. I mean, the liberals, I mean, tell me anything in the last 50 years that they've been right on. Nothing. Now let me speak to this issue about violence. We can say marriage is between a man and a woman, and they will say that's hate speech and you're guilty of violence. But yet they can incite physical altercations, but they're not guilty of violence. You know, Walker and Fred, I'll say this, and I want to throw to you guys. Mm-hmm. When I started college in the fall of 1982, I remember it was drummed into us two things. I well remember this at UNC Greensboro. They said, we have 10 years to save the planet. We have 10 years. If we don't radically get the government involved, we have 10 years to save the planet. The other mantra that I was told by my liberal professors was that within 25 years, the last humans would be dying of AIDS because Reagan was not funding AIDS research enough. It is never enough. And Reagan wants gays to die and die painfully. And so 10 years to save the planet, and in 25 years from now, because of Republican policies, the last humans alive will be dying of AIDS. Well, that was 36 years ago. And it dawned on me, and I said this for voters when you go to the polls in November. I mean, think about the recent past, the Dianne Feinstein obstructing the constitutional process and the confirmation of Judge Kavanaugh. Just think, tell me any liberal position of the last 40 years that actually has played out as true. Zero. None. Folks, pray, vote, and vote wisely.
Amen.
Alex, it's Fred here. I know you have a heart of reaching out with the gospel and biblical truth to young people in particular, and that's one of your major thrusts. Do you get questions, or I know you take the initiative, to try to explain to the younger generation that what they're seeing out there, the political upheaval, hostility, really towards conservative Christian values, it's all part of spiritual warfare, that they need to be aware that the source of evil is actually Satan. And I was reminded the other day, you know, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama are disciples of Saul Alinsky, a domestic terrorist. And, you know, his book was written to the first revolutionary, he said, Satan. So people have to understand at the base of all of this, this is spiritual warfare.
Yeah, I do. Fred, you make a great point, and I talk to young people about that, and they're hungry for truth. You know, I'm the last guy you'd think would be talking to groups of teens every weekend of the year, almost, and yet they're hungry. Middle schoolers, high schoolers, I talk to teenagers very openly, very frankly, about Satan, spiritual warfare, moral truth, and they eat it up. And last night, I was finishing up an event in eastern North Carolina, down where the floods have been. And a little guy, I guess he's about a seventh grader, he shook my hand as he was leaving, and he said, "You're my favorite preacher." And I said, "Well, praise God, you know." I said, "Make a big mark for Jesus, young man." Here's the thing. Kids are hungry for truth. Somehow, they intuitively know that the noise of the media and the internet and even their public schools, it's a little tiny smidgen of truth, but about 95% spin and PC, you know, messaging. And kids are hungry for truth. And so I would say to every mom and dad and every leader, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a pastor, help these kids, number one, know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. But number two, love God and country, and let's raise up a generation like we're doing with the Truth for New Generation event. Mm-hmm. But we must. I mean, we must do the exciting work of equipping a generation to defend faith, family, and freedom.
Hey, Alex, it's Chris here. I wanted to point something out. You talked about in 1982 hearing that we had about 10 years to act on the climate or bad things were going to happen. This week, scientists, governing bodies said we've got about 10 years to act or the climate's going to get so bad we've got to do something, that kind of thing. Is it time, and all this comes at a time when we have organizations, left-leaning ones, that like Young Evangelicals for Climate Action, is it time that we start including creationism, stewardship, biblical stewardship, things like that, into apologetics to reach the young people so that 10 years from now, we don't have another person saying, I heard this 10, 20 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Great question. Yes, that's why, you know, I really applaud the work of people like Ken Ham and Answers in Genesis. And, you know, the Creation Museum is so powerful and the Ark, and we use a lot of their scholars to speak in our conferences. Because, see here, getting the government involved in control, you know, the pseudoscience and the false science that goes into the climate change narrative, I mean, ultimately, the answer for liberals is going to be reduction of personal property ownership rights, the increase of government, insane regulations on business, and it will not. I've never gambled on anything. I don't gamble with God's money, but I would, with utter confidence, bet $1 million we could let the Al Gores of the world do all they wanted in government, personal rights, and business. And 100 years from now, it would not affect the outcome of the climate numbers one bit. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't. And so to younger evangelicals, we do need to teach them about biblical stewardship of God's beautiful creation. But that cannot, must not translate into government regulation of our lives and of business and the economy, because it's not going to make a difference. And believe me, I realize how many people would scoff at what I'm about to say, but I've seen most of this planet. I've been around the world. I do not believe that human activity is sufficient to change the outer atmosphere. Mm-hmm. There are cyclical weather patterns than have always been, and it's a much bigger world than the liberal alarmists would have you believe.
Amen. Hey, Alex, one quick question. Is it too late to sign up for your conference in 2 weeks in Baton Rouge, Louisiana?
Not at all. Thank you. TruthForANewGeneration.com. That's Truth, F-O-R, TruthForANewGeneration.com. Wonderful. In fact, I am at the venue, Greenwell Springs Baptist Church. Folks, pray, promote, plan to attend, invest a weekend that will count for eternity. TruthForANewGeneration.com.
All right, Alex, will you be on Exploring the Word this afternoon?
Good Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise, yes.
All right, truthforanewgeneration.com. Thanks, Alex, for coming on.
God bless you guys. Thanks.
All right, well, truthforanewgeneration.com. Alex's conference is October 26th and 27th in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, at Greenwell Springs Baptist Church. Some American Family Radio host, I believe Mickey Addison and a few others will be at that event. So you can go to truthforanewgeneration.com.
So thankful for people like Dr. Alex McFarland, who really have a heart for young people, because we do have, you know, when I was growing up, overall, amongst the saved, the unsaved world, there was kind of a Christian worldview that was in place. Mm-hmm. Like, you respected your the authority in front of you, your mom and dad.
Right.
All of those things, TV,
teachers,
you didn't have the junk teachers on TV that you have today. Our kids are just being inundated everywhere they look with anti-Christian, anti-biblical, anti-God value system.
Yeah.
And we need people like Alex out there that says, no, there's an alternative to this. This junk doesn't work. Here's what's going to work.
Amen. And we need to get controls of our families and our household and start teaching our kids what's right and what's wrong at a very early age.
Amen.
Today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. We'll be back with more news. Steve Jordan will join us after the break. 5 minutes of news, and we'll talk to you in a little bit.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.